Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Driving Mall Show. Yes, we have reached the end of the regular season and it is into the finals time for the Bunnings NPSC, which is what we're talking about most of the evening. By the way, folks, it looks like I am on a solo show, but don't worry, I've got post-match interviews from Bay of Plenty versus Northland and also Northland versus Manawa to break things up as well. So do look out for those, both for myself and Stephen Harris as well. So that's what we will be talking about mainly this evening. There are other topics or other things like the Women's Rugby World Cup that is coming up. And obviously rugby going on in Europe as well. But the MPs, Bunnings MPC, is where we are going to be concentrating this evening. So I hope you are all keeping it safe and well. Don't forget, you can watch us live at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays on the New Zealand Sport Radio Facebook page and YouTube channel, as well as at Driving Mall on Twitter. Or you can listen to back as a podcast as well. Just search New Zealand Sport Radio in your favourite podcatcher. And don't forget to subscribe, like, follow, all of those kind of wonderful and lovely things as well. I'm Paul, Driving Mall on Twitter is the best place if you want to have a chat during rugby games. So do look me up on there. So going to the last round then, and let's be honest, some teams were out of it, but there were a few crucial games to play. The first of those was last Wednesday when Bay of Plenty hosted Northland, a midweek game that kicks off at 4 o'clock or 4:30, I think it was, in the afternoon. So an early kickoff. And why? Well, that's because Tauranga doesn't have any floodlights, and so it had to be done before dark. Normally, Bay of Plenty play some of their games in Rotorua, but they had issues there. With the with the pitch relaying in Rotorua, and so that stadium was not available, and hence why their games have all been at Tauranga this year. Makes life easier for me as it's just an hour down the road, but unfortunately for those people in Rotorua, obviously they won't be getting that one. So by the way, folks, this weekend, coming weekend, Simon has pointed out in the live chat there, the Bay of Plenty are selling tickets to Sunday's match and doing buses from Rotorua and Tauranga. So the old away bus trip is on the cards, which I think is a cracking idea by Bay of Plenty. It's great to see that they are doing that, and boy, oh boy. So that will be a bit raucous on the way back if Bay of Plenty do get the win. But that's getting ahead of ourselves because, as I say, last Wednesday, they took on Northland. Now, this was a storm week game, and so both sides had their squads stretched. For Bay of Plenty, though, this game really did not matter at the end of the day. This result wasn't going to alter where they finished in the table. It all came down to their game at the weekend against Waikato. And whoever won that game was going to host the quarterfinal between them. Well, that was the most likely result from all of the games. So that was always what was on the cards. So this game really was not the focus for Bay of Plenty. Clearly, they wanted to win it. Don't get me wrong. But some of the selections, you could tell that they were resting players, and this wasn't a first-choice team by Bay of Plenty, which gave Northland a real good chance. In that first half, then, Northland took advantage of that chance and went out to a 5-15 nil lead in that one. But in the second half, boy oh boy, Bay of Plenty came back and were leading 21-20 with less than 10 minutes to go. And in the end, a scrum penalty was what decided it. And Dan Hawkins had come off the bench to knock over the winning points after the hooter had gone. So there were disallowed tries and all sorts of stuff in this one. It was a fun game in the sun down there in Tauranga on a Wednesday afternoon. So cracking one. I was there, as I say. So was Stephen Harris as well. Let's start off then going with one of the with the head coach for Northland to give us his view as to how the game went. Extreme fun.
Post-match reaction from the Tauranga Domain. An exciting finish. It was the visitors of Northland Taniwha who needed the win. They left it till very late, George Punia. But boy, how's the heart?
Oh, it's not good. It's not good at all, but what a win, eh? Oh. On the 80th minute to seal that victory.
Yeah, for a good part of this game, Taniwha created a lot of opportunities. Probably didn't always take it, but you always just felt that the Steamers, what they had on the bench, would always come back hard in the second half.
Yeah, we knew they were always going to come back hard, but so we knew that we needed to stay patient and control the ball in the second half. We had periods of it, and we could put ourselves in a position where we looked to seal that win with that final kick.
Just in terms of the kicking game, I just thought at times maybe probably an area of concern. Boys probably just a little bit off with their kicking game, but off.
Yeah, to be fair, we had some inconsistency with that kicking game today. Put ourselves under pressure, so we can fix it up.
Oh, and I was about to say, how good to have an All Black back in your front row, and then you roll another couple of renowned scrummages off the bench as well. And probably at the end of the day, how key was that?
Yeah, it was key for us. Like, if you win up front, you know, it usually helps you with other parts of your game. But having Wolfie come here and start for us was massive. The team gave us a big lift, but also the boys that come off the bench today did a real good job.
And George, we're going to become home space supporters come the weekend as well.
Yeah, got the Magpies, eh?
Absolutely, mate. Hey, very well done, and you'll head back to Kaikohe for Sunday and gear up for another two.
Yeah, we're going back to Kaikohe, the heart of Ngāpuhi, so we're going to go up there and obviously put in a good performance for that.
Hey George, very well done. We've got some pretty happy Taniwha supporters walking around here today, and you're mighty pleased. Well done.
So yeah, so to say, the scrum was clearly a big piece there, and obviously Stephen pulling up that they had got offer Tuanga Fassi available to them. Now when players like Kurt Eklund were being rested, you can see Northland did well with that one. And then the man of the moment, the man who kicked over the winning points. Let's have a quick chat with him.
Some post-match reaction from the Tauranga Domain, and it was a tight one for the Northland Taniwha. They came to the Domain, they needed the win, and a man of the moment, Dan Hawkins, touch kick to win the game. What was going through your mind?
Nah, to be honest, the forwards get all the credit there. Like I said, before that scrum went in, just give me that penalty and I'll kick that shit. And they did. I seen another thing, that thing going forward, they were on, and it's a privilege to be able to do it for the boys. They put a lot of work in there, and so we hopefully live to fight another day, get up Hawke's Bay. and then we'll go again against one of the two.
Tell me, it was a game that at times, like, it almost seemed like you had control, but maybe probably the kicking was a little bit off today. Just parts of the game, you think that might have been an area where you let Bayapuni back into the game?
Yeah, maybe just a little bit better area management would have been a little bit better, but at the same time, Ford's really rolled up their sleeves and carried a bit. I think it's just a bit of individual skill execution that let us down a couple times in crucial moments, and credit to Bay, they jumped on it. And, but saying that, you know, we hold our composure and
we know that the Bay are pretty down here on a good side. They brought a few guys off the bench in the second half and they came back at you.
Yeah, we, as a bench, it's a specialist position now, you know, you come on and add, and we knew their bench was going to come on and add a lot of energy, so we had to match it. And, I think we managed to, yeah, with credit to Bay, they're a mean team, and I think they'll keep going. Hopefully we meet them a bit later on.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, now you head up to Kaikohe, and you just want to, even though probably you're relying on a couple of other teams, but you still want to put in a strong performance for the people up in the Bay.
Yeah, for sure. That's it's a legendary spot in Northland, you know, and we love playing there. And I think teams hate going there, so it'll be good. And I think we've just got to rely on Hawke's Bay to win, and then it's back in our hands, and that's what we want. We know Manawatu's going to be a big challenge, and we need to front up.
Dan Hawkins, it's not the first time you've got a clutch kick in the last minute. I'm pretty sure the Tunny fans, and there's plenty of them around, of course, the ones fans that have travelled down would be absolutely rad, mate. Congratulations on the win, and congratulations on your first performance.
Appreciate it, bro, and thanks to all our fans there. It's a privilege to be out here, and thank you guys. Hopefully we go on, and we've got a few more weeks for sure. We'll get to that final win. Travel safe there.
And one of the things we've been trying to do, or I've been trying to do throughout the season, is bring you the best kind of chat with the debutants of each day, and sort of get their kind of views as to how they felt, or how they found the step up to the NPC. Seamus Bodul got his opportunity on Wednesday, so let's have a quick chat with him on his debut.
After Bay of Plenty versus Northern with Seamus on his debut here down at Tauranga Domain. So how did you find that, your debut and the pace of the game compared to club rugby?
Yeah, no, it was good, eh? Yeah, finally good to get off and wear the stripes. Pace was pretty quick, especially through that first half. It was definitely a step up from what I'm used to, but good to get it done, so good to jump on board.
And you felt comfortable out there with the boys and didn't feel like overawed or the level was too high for you?
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah, slowly warmed into it. A bit of a shock at the start, but yeah, once I sort of found the groove. I enjoyed it.
It looked like you enjoyed it, yeah, with ball in hand and running it up there. That seemed to be, I think, something that you look very good and comfortable at this level, which is great to see. Here you are, obviously, but Tauranga Sport is your club team. So a few family and friends in the crowd today?
Yeah, no, definitely, yep. It's a flick off a few tickets, so family's here and good support from some of the local lads as well. But yeah, no, it's good to be back at Jurassic Park, and it's probably one of the best pitches that you can play on, so no, it's good to be at home and having a run around.
But a bit strange playing at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Definitely. Yeah, the mid-game and then coming off back-to-back or playing in the weekend as well. Yeah, body's sort of feeling it. So
how are you finding that? Because normally on a debut you'd have a 4 week preparation, you have to run through drills, etc. I'm guessing that there wasn't that many opportunities to run through drills because of a shortened training week. So did that kind of mean there was no time for nerves, or did that mean you felt a bit kind of rushed into it?
Yeah, no, it was sort of in the deep end. We had rest day on Sunday and then one day of training Monday, and then captain's run yesterday. So no, it was good. Good learnings, and I suppose it's the best way to learn is get thrown in the deep end. So.
Fantastic. And what are your ambitions in rugby? Are you looking at being a stepping stone to getting more game time next season, and perhaps moving on to Super, etc.?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, or just getting comfortable and just use this as a stepping stone and see where I can go. Pretty keen to push on. So,
well, congratulations on your debut. Good luck in the having a good club season next year as well, to head into another stonking NPC.
Awesome.
Thanks
Cheers
for your time.
Mate.
Cheers.
So there you go. It's good to have a chat with, with Debutant, see what their aspirations are, how they see things going, and how he found it as well. It was a difficult one on Wednesday. I say it's one training session and the captain's run, and then straight into it. So that's hope obviously with the squad all season, but to have that little preparation going into that one would have been difficult. So that led us on to the weekend then, and as you heard there, from the Northland interviews, they needed a helping hand from Hawke's Bay as Hawke's Bay were taking on Tasman. Now, Tasman were ahead of Northland in the table on this one, but Hawke's Bay also had plenty to play for if to make sure that they were also going to make it into the finals, because they didn't know what Otago would do later or later in the weekend. So for Hawke's Bay, this was very much a live game as well. This one was a rainy one down in Nelson. It was wet down there. Hawke's Bay got a couple of early tries, one from the line-out mall, then backed it up again with another one with the line-out mall, but that got stopped. It got spun wide and they scored. But missing the conversions meant that Tasman were able to pull it back to 10-all then just after the hooter on half-time. Hawke's Bay got off the back of the scrum and scored to take a 17-10 lead and had that momentum going into half-time with them. Hawke's Bay backed it up with getting the first try in the second half to take it out to 22-10, and it was all over from there, really. It was a late consolation try for Tasman, which made the score look a little bit more respectable at 25-17. This finished off what has been a poor season for Tasman. They only finished 3 points outside the playoffs, even though they won 4 games and lost 6. Northland still had to get the win to get themselves into the playoffs and knock Tasman out. But as Northland were up against Manawatu, who hadn't won all season, clearly the writing was on the wall for Tasman at this point. It hasn't been a great season, and they really haven't clicked, even though they had players with Severn Rees and a host of other Super Rugby players running around in that team. But it just hasn't worked for them this season for one reason or another. On to Saturday then, and Southland were taking on North Harbour down in Invercargill there with some absolutely lovely sunshine. Harbour wanting to make sure they got a home quarter final. And boy, oh boy, did their backs go to work, winning this one 8-66, a comfortable win for Harbour. And that back three, one of the best back threes in the comp, you've got to say, really, with Tavita Lee scoring a lot of tries there, made some champagne rugby for the Invercargill crowd. So, yes, exciting rugby, but not the kind of results they would have wanted down there. And that saw North Harbour into second place in the in their conference, behind Canterbury in that one. Auckland then saw off Taranaki 38-24. I haven't seen this one, but that meant that we're going to have a battle of the bridge yet again this season, but this time over in North Harbour for that one. And that will be one of our quarterfinals. Taranaki, having had a great season last year, this year, just 3 wins. This game was a dead rubber for them. They were never going to make it into the finals. The final game on Saturday was Otago versus Canterbury. You can say Canterbury very much had already got their top place all secured, and there really wasn't anything in this one for them. But still, they saw off Otago 21-27 down there in Dunedin. Otago really did push this one all the way, using their width and their pace out wide. There was a very poor attempt at a drop goal, but they did lead at halftime 14-12. Canterbury scored first in that second half, but Otago did get themselves back into the lead. They lead switched plenty of times in this game, but at the end of the day, some poor defence allowed, I've gone blank at the name of the winger from Canterbury, Mattielli, to score a try from inside his own 22. He did pass it and got it back again to in there, but he broke. It was like 5 or 6 tackles broken in that move. Otago had the opportunities, but just could not get the points on the board, and that meant they missed out on finals footy down there in Dunedin. A 5-5 record, so 5 wins, 5 losses, finishing 4 points behind Hawke's Bay. They needed to get some, well, the try bonus point win to force things, which I think that might not even be enough for them. Actually, that would have been, yeah, they'd been finished on 35 points, and that would have seen them, finished on 31 points, and they would have had 6 wins. That would have seen them in there, but yeah, that was never, it could have been on, but it didn't eventuate for Otago. On to Sunday then, and we have Counties Manukau versus Wellington. Wellington, a team that really has blossomed towards the end of this season, finishing at top of the, this win saw them finish top of their conference, beating Counties 31-64. So another high-scoring game that we saw from North Harbour as well in that one. Milner Scudder got himself a try in there as Wellington got that big win. And I say, and they're heading in to these finals with some fantastic momentum and peaking at the right time of the season. Perhaps the most likely team that looks like to be able to stop Canterbury. Canterbury's still heavy favourites, though, in this one. Lothland then took on Manawatu. And it was a comfortable win for Northland up there where they. Kaitaia, I think they said they were playing in, not in their normal home, because that pitch is being kept for the Women's Rugby World Cup, or for the Rugby World Cup that's kicking off this coming weekend. So they won that one 41-24. Stephen Harris got us some interviews from down there. First off, let's hear from Manawatu, a couple of players from Manawatu who had a real tough season this season. We'll have a chat with Jason Emery, the co-captain, first. And I say it's been a real tough season for the Manawatu. They have not won a game all season.
Just getting some post-match reaction from the final round of the Bunnings NPC. I'm with one of the co-skippers, Jason Emery from the Manawatu Turbos. It's been a tough year for the Turbos, but this is probably not a bad performance from your team up here in the far north, in the heart of Ngāpuhi, actually. Yeah. A long way to come, but you know, even though it's been a tough year, Jason, you can't fault the effort of your guys.
Yeah, 100%. We've had a tough year, and we kind of came up here with nothing to lose. So we knew the Tunnies had a lot to play for. So yeah, look, we just try to play on that, and it can only get so far. So look, I'm proud that we put up today. Could have easily folded, you know, through the towel, and just got on with it, got through the game. But I reckon we showed a lot of effort. Just proud to wear the jersey, which I think goes a long way.
Absolutely, and you've got some individuals in this team. These are your young guys. I'm kind of looking past like TK Hale. And Leo Piana, what's the MSR, winning the loose forwards. You've got some pretty sizable boys in the forward pack as well.
Yeah, they're still babies today, so look, I can't talk about size, I'm not the biggest thing, but they're young guys, and I just told them before in our huddle, just take the learnings from this year and just put it towards the next, you know, your next part, you know, whether it's going Hurricanes or going overseas. And just make sure you're a better person for it. It's been tough, man.
And how important is it that you're trying to keep this bunch, this raw blue group together?
Yeah, I reckon it's important. There's been a lot of chat. A few of us have read the papers back home, and they've been saying that we're not looking after local talent. So, look, we've had a few boys debut this year, a few young fellas that play in the academy this year. So, we can only control what we can do.
And just to your family and supporters, and more importantly, your whānau, you had some hearty group of supporters I met up here in the stand that travelled a long way as well. Too good, eh?
Yeah, I just really want to have a big shout out to our supporters. As I said, it's been a tough season, and the Lord wants to stay with us, and especially to all our sponsors and stuff too, just sticking with us and getting us through the tough times now. So hopefully we'll get better people for it next year. And
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can put a few wins together next season. Yeah. And also just from a Taniwha point of view, obviously the boys have got through to a quarterfinal, but I know the heartfelt as well, because from a union point of view, we've been sort of in this place as well, and I have no doubt the two boys will bounce back bigger and better next year.
Oh, thank you, appreciate that. We wish the Tunnies all the best for the finals, and yeah, go away for the little union day. Take off those big unions.
Too good, mate. Hey brother, thank you for your I'm just a battered dependent. I used to get commentator. Yeah. Really
good, but I got there, lady. Some people just got there.
Carol, here he goes. It's Stephen Knox. So Remy press stop there. He goes into having a little chat rather than off the our post interview there. But so we'll have the other captain with Stephen as well.
We'll get some more post match reaction here at Kaikohe in the heart of Ngāpui. So these fellas from Manawatū had a huge trip to come up this way. I'm with their skipper at the moment, Braden Yose. Braden, it's been a tough season, but you know, you can just see with your boys today, there's a lot of their hearts.
Yeah, really tough season. I think we've got a really good core young group, and a lot of guys can play exciting rugby. It's just trying to fill those spots around them with experience and guys that can just nail our role consistently. I think that's about that.
So I think the Taniwha has been in this place before where they've struggled in the past. And you know what it's like during a season? None of the calls go your way. They go everybody else's way, and everything that does go wrong would go wrong. But you know, I can see on the horizon, you know, there's the Drew on the back, you've got Timo on the wing, and man, you've got some X-Factor out there, and even in yourself and TK Helen, you have got X-Factor in the
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there's a lot of good homegrown talent coming through as well. And I think just now, we've given ourselves opportunities to play rugby, play the best, special stuff, just trying to find the key to full performance this year. Unfortunately, I haven't found this year.
Yeah, just at times you've let teams get away with you, get away on you as well, beg your pardon. Even today, you let Norfolk get out to that lead and find that you're always chasing teams as well in games.
Absolutely, yeah. It's hard to come back when you let teams in for soft chances in the first 10 minutes. I guess that's sort of been the story of our year.
Yeah.
It just shows us the importance of starting well and building pressure with our territory and just nailing our maps and those high pressure moments. But I think it's good growth for a young team to learn that way. Sort of pretty, it's like a punch on the nose, you know, it's only one way to learn. So
exactly, and I think sometimes you just got to go away, reload over the summer, just work out what's required, because I hope you keep this group together. Quite personally, you know, you've got some really good boys.
Yeah, likewise. I think it's local talent within our own region and guys that are really excited and keen to be here and understand what Manawatū rugby is all about. We're really proud of them, and if we can instill that in all our players, there's a best chance.
Oh, absolutely. And you've got a lot going at the Manawatū Union as well. Of course, the Cyclones, they're a good team as well, and your supporters, they're pretty hearty. Some I met up in the stand, made the trip up as well, and listen, I'll try and put this on your Facebook site, Gallup, Manawatū, but just a quick word for those supporters and sponsors, bro.
Yeah, special thank you to our sponsors and supporters. I mean, without them, this wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't be possible for us to live our dreams and play rugby for Manawatū. So we appreciate all your support, especially during these hard times. I mean, these hard times are good and make you recognise and appreciate the good times. So we'll be all the better for it, and we appreciate the support. We love our fans and love our sponsors.
Oh, listen, we appreciate you guys as well. I know it's a tough year, but the mighty Turbos, I'm pretty sure you guys will be able to get it.
So there we go. And for me, Manawatū, having a few tough seasons, let's be honest, but so yeah, we've got to keep with their local boys and try and build up that club competition as a way forward for them, I think. But fantastic for Northland to that sees themselves into the quarter finals there with that win. So two big wins on Wednesday and then following that on Sunday for them. We knew this was probably going to be, or this was going to be the quarter final, a repeat of it when Waikato took on Bay of Plenty, and boy, this was a cracker. Bay of Plenty scored first and jumped out to a 10-0 lead, only for Waikato to come back lead 14-10 after the first 20 minutes. So all action-packed straight early on. Bay of Plenty managed to pull out to a 14-22 lead at half-time, and then backed it up to pull out to 14-34. So a 20-point lead with 20 minutes to go. It's the kind of lead that you'd hope your team would shut down, but it wasn't to be. And Waikato came back at the death. They had a 5-metre line-out, and Bay of Plenty decided to contest the line-out. They won the line-out, but only for the Waikato player to come through, grab the ball and touch it down for a try. So, yes, a moment of despair for Waikato fans turned into elation, and the opposite for Bay of Plenty fans. And with Dave McKenzie knocking over the conversion, it ended up being 35-34. So a one-point lead, one-point win, kick at the death. That's two games on the bounce now that Bay of Plenty have lost with a kick after the hooter has gone. So it's been a real tough couple of games for them. Really, really close, quite clearly. It could easily have been an 8-2 season. Instead, it was a 6-4 season for them. We saw them finish on 34 points. Those extra 8 points could have would have seen them top the table in the odds conference. So how close, how different it could have been with those two games. The important one was this one for Bay of Plenty. You can see why they didn't prioritise the Northland game. Waikato finished on seven wins, a draw, and two losses. They just had two losses on the bounce, so this was an important win for them to come to finals time on 36 points, just 2 points behind Wellington. So only 4 points separated first to third in the Oz Conference, with the Hawke's Bay only 3 points back. So tight in this conference. Compare that to the Evens Conference, where there was a 14-point gap between Canterbury in first place and North Harbour in second. So a much a bigger gap there than not quite bigger than the gap between first and fourth in the other conference, but pretty close to it in that one. So what does that mean? That means this coming weekend, our quarterfinals are North Harbour hosting Auckland, Battle of the Bridge, with which one that Stephen Harris will try and get to. And I've just realised I've missed off two interviews. So we'll actually go back, but I'll run through these and we'll go back to those. Wellington will then host Hawke's Bay, with Wellington being clear favourites in that one. But that Battle of the Bridge is looking tight between those two teams. Canterbury then host Northland, and that's a big ask for Northland to go all the way down to Christchurch there. You'd think that Canterbury and Wellington, obviously finishing top of the table, those two will be looking to, obviously firm favourites. We just heard Waikato and Bay of Plenty fight out a game that came down to a kick after the hooter and a one-point game. So they go against each other again this Sunday in Waikato at FMG Stadium. I will be at that game, so we'll have post-match interviews from that game next week on the show, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Folks, don't forget that. So I think Friday and Sunday's game look like absolute crackers. The ones on Saturday should both go with the home team. But one of those teams that we're trying to upset that is Northland. So let's hear from Northland's skipper after their game last weekend and his thoughts on how they've been going.
We were tired. Like, it felt sluggish out there at times. So, yeah, we just had to stay in and do enough to tick the points over, really. And we did that in the end, but yeah, it was hard work.
And how good to bring the same Aussie to Copenhagen we heard a couple of years ago, but to come back again and see a really good, robust crowd there, how good?
Yeah, no, it was good. I was confident coming up here. You know, we had that great result this Waikato 2020, you know, and then we got up here and the sun was out. It was raining a fucking day, and the sun was out when we got here, so that gave me a little smile on the bus. Yeah, it was much better than playing in the rain.
Oh, it's been a stressful weekend because you needed a couple of other things to get a couple of results as well. What was worth actually playing this game today and watching some of those games?
I told the boys I didn't watch, eh? I was just coming to play. I can control what I can control. So, boys all put it up on the chat on Friday, so we knew we had something to play for Friday night. We're hoping Auckland would drop out too, so we could come third, but, you know, they stuck it out, so, yeah.
And of course, it looks like you're heading down to Canterbury. You probably thought you missed it. You left 40 minutes out there when you last played them down there, because you played probably a good 35. It'll just be a case of really go out there with nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. I think we put a good 40 on. Like, a few things didn't go our way, and maybe that killed our momentum. Like, they definitely played a good game in that second half and took it away from us, but I think we can take confidence from that first 40. We can play with them, and we're going down to win. So, yeah.
And how good just to be in quarterfinal contention, especially for a small union like Auckland.
Yeah, I was actually thinking if we'd done this, whether we're the best in the professional era, like almost, I don't know, you'll have to fact check that, but it's a good result regardless, but we don't want to finish there. We'll go down to the show next week.
So that is very well done, mate, and all the best on your travels next week.
Cheers, thank you very much. Steve,
thank you. So Matt Matic there, talking very well. Northland captain, and let's see what they can do down in Canterbury. But as I say, I think it's a tall ask down there for them. Here on the show, the other people we like to talk to at games is people who have got significant milestones as well, whether they've got the Blazer game or their 50th. And Tamati Tua played his 50th game for the Tony Files up there at the weekend. So here's Stephen with Tamati on his 50th game.
I'm getting some more post-match reaction from Tani Whā, a win that they needed over the Turbos here in Kaikoe. I'm with a man who's played 50 games for the Tani Whā, or he's with his 50 games for today, Tamati. Turbos exploited their record, they really bought it, didn't they?
Yeah, no, they're always a tough team to put away. They don't stop, they've got plenty of good ball carriers in their team, and yeah, they go to the last minute.
And boy, there were times when I saw you guys with put it away on the post when they shortened the score up. What was being said under the post?
Really just trying to be clinical in that second half. Last few weeks we've gone off to good starts, and then the second half sort of died off, so we sort of just tried to keep that momentum.
And I'll tell you what, we're up here in virtually the heart of Ngāpuhi, yeah. And the clock we're here, not too, only another hour drive from where you were brought up, but how good to come up here and play this game.
It's always good to get out of Whangarei, eh? A lot of people up here don't really get to see the game, so it's good to come play one up here.
And I'll tell you what, you're alive for another week, so I'm pretty sure you want to go down to Canterbury, I think that's where you're heading to. And you probably played a really good half last time, but I think it's a case of go down there and just give it everything.
Yeah,
too good, Tamati. Hey, mate, all the best on 50 games. Hopefully we see you play another 50 for the union.
Yes, man.
Cheers, bro.
So there we go. That's it's always great to talk to people who've achieved those fantastic milestones. And because the Women's Rugby World Cup, the Saturday games, don't forget, at 2 o'clock for Wellington versus Hawke's Bay, and at 4:35 for Canterbury versus Northland. So no evening NPC game. That's because of the Women's Rugby World Cup this coming weekend. On Saturday, you've got South Africa versus France at 2:15. Fiji take on England at 4:45, and then the big one, the Wallabies versus the Black Ferns at 7:15 at Eden Park. And then on Sunday, a further three games, with the USA taking on Italy, Japan taking on Canada, and Wales taking on Scotland. So that's when all the games are happening on that one. A couple of things that have come up about the Bunnings NPC, and Scott Donaldson in the live chat there asks us this one. Should they have had playoffs for teams 9th to 14th? Yes, I think they should have done. Let's have the more games I think they can have for the NPC provincial teams, the better. So, yeah, it would have been good for the remaining, six teams to have had some sort of playoff with the I'm not quite sure how you would structure it, but I think you could probably put in a kind of elimination final, a semi-final, and then a final for them as well for a kind of plate competition. I think would have been a good idea. Also, there have I've seen a few comments on the online about they should have been having cross conference games at the quarterfinals and all this kind of stuff. Look, it is what it is, and just because we've got Waikato versus Bay of Plenty on back-to-back weekends, I don't think that's anything you could have predicted, and so I don't see anything wrong, particularly with how they have done the playoff picture. Everyone knew what they were pre-season, so as long as it's clear to people, I don't have any particular problems with that. But yes, I agree, Scott, that we should have had to playoffs for teams 9 to 14. Would have been a good idea on that one. The format of this competition has been a tad strange, let's be honest. What they've done is they've taken the top four, well, take the 14 teams, they seeded them and put the even numbers, even seeded teams into one conference and the odd seeded teams into another conference. There's no sort of natural way as to knowing as to who is in each conference. It's not like you can say the top seven countries, top seven provinces in the country, and the bottom seven are split that way, north and south. No, it's not done that way. It's purely on seeding. It'll be interesting to see. I've not sat down and looked for seeding to see if it changes next year or not. But I think the idea was that it can change every year. So you don't really know what seedings you are going to, or what conference you're going to be in. I don't think there's been too much. That's been too much of a problem for fans. But that thing also comes down to the fact that how many casual fans even know the NPC is on as a competition. I mean, I think they're all just looking at enjoying games of rugby. And then if their team happens to be in the finals come the end of it, all good and well, and they'll pay attention. But I don't think that there's the investment from the vast majority or from a big enough section of the public to kind of worry about what the nuances of the structure are. As far as they're concerned, it's every team has a crack at winning the competition, which didn't happen last year or hasn't happened in previous years because of the Premiership and Championship formats, and so that's considered a good thing. Quite how teams end up in those sort of situations, I don't think they're particularly are too concerned about, to be honest. I think that's probably a lesson that Super Rugby can take, is look, it's about the quality of rugby and about engaging fans to team. It's not so much about what is the structure, and people should just get off the administrators' backs about that and stop complaining about it. Just try and enjoy the game and the games that are happening themselves. I think that's what we've seen with the Bunnings NPC this year. I'm not a great fan of the structure of the format, because I don't think it's kind of easy to understand this, whether you're an even or an odds, and they're not particularly great names for the conferences either. Not very catchy, is it? We're in the odds conference. Why? Well, because we've seeded fifth. So yeah, it's all a bit confusing. But as I say, I don't think the fans have really cared about that. They just want to enjoy a game of rugby for a team that represents their area. I think it's been successful from that point of view, insofar as how successful Bunnings NPC or the NPC is. Obviously, it would be great to get bigger crowds and grow that. I don't feel that it has grown any from last year to this year. I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel to me that the crowds are any bigger this year than say 3-4 years ago. From that point of view, we're going to hear from you guys. Just your thoughts. Do you think that engagement with the Bunnings NPC has increased, or do you think it's dropped from say 4 or 5 years ago with the Mitre 10 Cup, with the Premiership and Championship? Obviously, doing it during the COVID years is a bit difficult to compare. But if we go back to pre-COVID, what do you think? Do you think it's higher or lower? Please do let me know. Just to finish off then, let's have a look at some of the news items that are kicking around on this one. On the Caleb Trask is going to be heading over to Japan next year to play his rugby with the My Honda Heat. He's not been getting that much playing game time with the Chiefs. And when you think they've got Bryn Gatland, Rivers Rehana, and obviously Dane McKenzie there, all vying for that number 10 jersey as well. Rivers Rehana having a really good season with the with Northland. You've got to say that, that it actually makes some sense for him to go over there and get game time in Japan. And then he's going to come back for the following two seasons. So it's kind of like a sabbatical for him, except normally when we have sabbaticals, it's with players like Beauden Barrett, Dane McKenzie, Jordy Barrett, etc. Well, we'll talk about Jordy Barrett in a second. Those kind of players who have had years as an All Black and go on about that. Talking of Beauden Barrett then, he has signed on until 2025 with a sabbatical option in his final year. So an extra couple of years, three years for Beauden Barrett, for Jordy Barrett there, who has cemented himself well as a first choice 15, but then again, is he now the first choice 12 as well for the All Blacks? So an integral part of the All Blacks, let's be honest. He is one of those players that will be, is starting if he's fit in the first choice All Blacks team. So good to see that he's putting to paper for another 3 years. Final bit of news is around the Highlanders appointing a new attack coach. It's a guy called Richard Whiffen who's English. A bit of a surprise. This one I've never come across before, to be honest. He's been part of London Irish, Gloucester, and also Scarlets. At Scarlets, worked with a couple of, London Irish and also at Scarlets, has worked with several Kiwis how I think he's come to attention of the Highlanders. So currently working with the Welsh women's squad at the Rugby World Cup. So, congratulations to him on his role. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes down there at the Highlanders. Someone, I say, that I've not come across before, but good luck to him, and also good luck to the Highlanders with that appointment down there. That's everything from me then. So yes, we've got Women's Rugby World Cup coming up kicks off this coming weekend. So obviously we'll have a chat about that next week. We've also got the quarterfinals of the Bunnings NPC. I'll be at one. Hopefully Steve will be at the other one, at one of the other ones, at the Battle of the Bridge, Harbour versus Auckland. So look out for those post-match interviews that we'll bring you next week. All have a safe week and a cracking week, and catch you all next Tuesday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.